The Invisible Fiend Series, Book 1, Mr. Mumbles, written by Barry Hutchison and produced by Be Here.
The grass at my feet had been churned into mud by the driving rain. I slipped and slid as I ran across it, limping, my imaginary friend somewhere close behind. Ducking past him and getting him to follow me out of the house had been the hard part. The really hard part. That was still to come. Wild winds wailed at me, whipping up my clothes, slowing me down. I pushed through them, my eyes fixed straight ahead on my destination. As if on cue, a bolt of lightning ripped across the sky, and for a split second, the Keller house lit up like a firework before me. My hands caught the top of the fence separating the two gardens, and I threw myself over. The grass on the other side was long and thick. It tangled around my feet as I ran, like a million grabbing hands, reminding me of the forest from my nightmare in the church. I kicked through it and focused on what I was about to do. What I had to do. No longer just for my sake, but for my family's too. When I was close to the house, I risked a backwards glance. The driving downpour made it difficult to see, but I could pick out the shape of Mr. Mumbles. He was this side of the fence, moving slowly, like he had all the time in the world. Boy, did I have a surprise in store for him. The wooden door practically crumbled as soon as I put my shoulder to it. I swallowed hard, fighting back an almost overwhelming urge to turn from this place and run. Years of suppressed terror bubbled to the surface as I stepped over the threshold and into the place where Mr. Mumbles had first tried to kill me. Why had I come here? I wasn't completely sure. Partly it was because I wanted to draw him away from Mum and Nan. More than that, though, I could think of no better place for our final battle. He'd lain in wait for me here when I was 5, preparing to kill me. Now it was time to turn the tables. Cracked and wet rubber tiles squeaked underfoot as I crossed to the edge of the pool. At any other time, it would be nothing more than a big rectangular hole in the floor, but weeks of rain pouring in through a dozen or more holes in the roof had almost filled the thing to the top. The water was dirty and dank, full of dark shapes and darker memories I'd give anything to forget. I backed away and hid down in the shadows by the door, waiting. As I squeezed myself against the wall, something pressed against my back. I turned and studied it. It was a life ring, tied with a long rope to a bracket on the wall. I set my old school bag down on the tiles, then slipped the life ring over my head and pushed it down to my waist. The orange plastic had been stained shades of brown by years of neglect, but it seemed sturdy enough. I wasn't planning on going near the water, but just in case, I told myself, just in case. Reaching into my bag, I pulled out the tiny plastic bow and one arrow, then zipped the bag tight shut again and slung it back over my shoulders. The toys still felt pathetic and flimsy in my grip, but I tried not to think about that. They had worked before. I had made them work before, and I was staking everything on them working now too. The light in the garage, the axe, the shield. I had done that. I was sure of it. Somehow I made it happen. And if I had, if I could do that, I could do anything. Silently, I notched one of the arrows against the thin string of the bow, took aim at a space a pace or two inside the door, and waited. Lightning danced across the sky and turned the next few seconds into a series of freeze frame images. I felt cut off from my body, like an onlooker inside my own head, as the door was thrown wide open. I saw the hulking shape of Mr. Mumbles step through, watched my fingers release their grip on the string, heard the boing and followed the arc of the arrow as it whizzed in agonizing slow motion through the air towards its target. The arrow struck him on the arm. I watched the rubber tip thud against his coat, followed by the thin plastic rod as it rebounded harmlessly off. A second later, the arrow clattered on the tiled floor. A second after that, the world lurched back into full throttle. With a throaty roar, Mr. Mumbles turned and leapt for me. His fingers were in my hair before I could react, yanking so hard I thought my scalp would be ripped in two. I hurled my body weight against him as he dragged me over to the pool. It must have caught him off guard and knocked his balance, because almost at once he began to stumble. Still holding me by the hair, he slipped on the tiles and we both tumbled down into the pool. Freezing water stabbed at me as we crashed below the surface, sending shockwaves through my whole body. So cold. Hadn't been ready for the cold. It forced me to gasp, to open my mouth, and I spluttered as the murky grey liquid seeped down my throat. The plastic ring bobbed me back up, and I coughed up most of what I'd swallowed. The cold was overwhelming. It filled every thought, a pain like nothing I've ever known. I still held the plastic bow in my hand. This had been a stupid idea. Stupid, stupid, stupid! I thrashed in the water, but my limbs were already beginning to go stiff. Fingers burning with cold now. Breathing impossible. Stupid. So cold. Had to get out. My hands didn't feel like they were connected to the rest of me, but with some effort, I got them to follow orders. Trembling, and with the toy bow hooked by its string over my wrist, I took hold of the rope which tethered me to the wall. My muscles spasmed in protest as I began to pull myself back towards the edge. Behind me, Mr. Mumbles clawed up from below the murk. He shrieked an unholy shriek, filled with frustration and hatred and rage. The sound rebounded off the tiled walls. Round and round the room it went, growing gradually fainter with every rebound. Gritting my teeth against the pain, I heaved against the rope and began to drift closer to the side of the pool. My body was trembling, too much to feel the fingers around my neck. The first I knew of them was when they forced me under. Down, down, into the silent darkness of the water I went. The chill liquid wrapped around me, searching for some way in. I screwed up my eyes and clamped my lips together, denying the water its victory. For the moment, at least. I turned sharply and felt the hands on my shoulders slip loose. Kicking hard, I shot for the surface, my lungs already on fire from the effort of keeping my breath in. As soon as my head cleared the water, I opened my mouth, gulping in huge mouthfuls of air. Twisting round, I came face to face with Mr. Mumbles. His hat was off, floating somewhere in the pool. And for the first time, I saw him in all his horror. The thin, papery skin on his head was almost grey, and broken only by the occasional clump of thick, wiry hair. Each clump had been flattened by the wet, plastered down against his skull. He looked grotesque, diseased, like a discoloured corpse brought back from the grave. I tried to swim away, but my stiff arms and heavy clothes made it impossible to move. It wouldn't have mattered anyway. I couldn't swim a stroke. With a short splash, the smell of rotting meat was all around me once again as Mr. Mumbles moved in for the kill. I lashed out, throwing slow-moving fists wildly in front of me, trying to drive him back. Each punch bounced harmlessly off him as he wrapped his hands around my throat for the final time. There was no slow build-up this time. His fingers tightened instantly around my throat, almost crushing my windpipe. I tried to swallow down air, but his grip blocked the flow. Wildly I swung, hitting him as hard as I could on the head, the arms, anywhere I thought might hurt him. He didn't seem to feel a thing. We'd hit him with a car, and it hadn't hurt him. We'd smashed him into a wall. It hadn't hurt him. If only I was stronger, like I'd been back in the garage with Amina. If only I was strong enough to hurt him. The world rippled around me as my brain began to run out of oxygen. Limply, I swung another punch. I don't even know if it hit the target. Why wasn't I stronger? Why couldn't I fight him? I had beaten him when I was 5, so why not now? No time to figure it out. No time to do anything. No time left. No time. My mind began to drift as the darkness closed in. Weird, random images flashed across it, like a slideshow presentation at a home for the criminally insane. Click. Mr. Keller sticking a needle in a mutant child. Click. Nan screaming at me, "Where's Albert? Where's Albert?" Click. Mum in a tutu, twirling and spinning, around and around and around and around. Click. Me, floating in the pool. This pool, long ago. Motionless, still. Armbands tight on my arms, like muscles, big muscles. I am Superman. I am the Hulk! The next punch caught Mr. Mumbles under the chin and almost lifted him clear out of the water. He squealed as he flew backwards, falling just short of the edge. His head hit the corner of the tiled floor with a sickening crack. In disbelief, I stared down at my clenched fist. Had I really done that? For a brief moment, I'd seen those blue and white sparks again and felt an incredible sense of raw power pulsing through my body, even more than at the garage. Now it was gone, and I was back to feeling nothing but the cold and the pain in my throat where Mr. Mumble's hands had been. But I'd hurt him. I'd become strong enough to hurt him because, just for a moment, I'd believed I was strong enough. I looked down at the plastic bow wrapped around my wrist. The arrow had bounced harmlessly off him, but had I been surprised? Not really. I hadn't been surprised because I hadn't believed it would hurt him. That was where I'd gone wrong. A low, mumbled groan drifted over the surface of the pool as my friend turned foe righted himself in the water. We locked eyes, and for the first time, I could see real pain in his. I saw blood begin to seep from his face, and for a moment, I thought I'd done him serious damage. Thick, dark trickles of the stuff began to pour from the area around his lips. I gave a start, quickly realizing the bleeding wasn't anything to do with me. Mr. Mumbles was doing something he'd never done before. He was opening his mouth. The first stitch tore through his top lip with a faint ripping sound. Soon another popped free. And another, until the filthy pool was awash with red. I stared, unable to move, my gaze fixed on his eyes. Sunken eyes, dead eyes. What was he doing? Why was he...
No.
Oh, no! With one final effort, he tore open his mouth. Immediately, he began to retch, as if he was going to throw up. I turned and frantically tugged on the rope, dragging myself away from him, towards the edge, towards safety. It was no use, though. I was too late. Behind me, Mr. Mumbles roared in triumph as gallon after gallon of filthy water spewed out of his mouth and down into the pool. The water hit the pool like a torrent and was already rising fast. Everything was hidden below the scum-coated surface now. The doors, the windows, even Mr. Mumbles himself. Still, the water level kept moving upwards at an incredible rate, carrying me with it up towards the ceiling. I yelped in shock as the rope which moored me to the wall went tight. Around me, the water continued to swell upwards past my chest. I barely had time for one big breath before the rising tide covered my head and I once more found myself engulfed by a cold and bitter blackness. My frozen fingers fiddled with the life ring, trying to force it off, but my clothes had become bloated in the water and the plastic hoop was now wedged tight around me. No matter how hard I kicked and struggled, I couldn't get any higher. Couldn't reach the precious, life-giving air just a few meters above. A rush of panic washed over me as the dark depths brought vivid memories of the last time I was here flooding back. He had failed to kill me last time, but it looked like this time he was finishing the job. I was drowning. My worst fear was about to be realized. I had seconds of air left in my lungs. The rope held me suspended in the cold, unable to move up. The swell of the water below made it impossible to move down. I hung there, suspended, trapped, dying. A shape suddenly lurched at me from the dingy depths, and I kicked out weakly with my uninjured leg. A slender hand deflected the foot with ease as a familiar figure swam into view. Amina gripped the plastic ring around my waist and tugged hard. She gestured wildly for me to help, and together we pushed and wrestled until, with one big final heave, I was free. Clutching my arm, she swam up, kicking and pulling us through the water. We hit the ceiling before we saw it. The water was all the way to the top of the room, and there was no surface for us to reach. Frantic with panic, we clawed at the crumbling plaster, desperately trying to find a way out. Amina punched up at the ceiling before recoiling in pain as her fist found the solid wood of the roof. My instinct to breathe screamed at me, demanding I open my mouth, but I knew to do that would be certain death. Instead, I peered up through the gaps in the plaster, searching for some way of escape. There had to be holes big enough to let in all the rain that had filled the pool. I knew there had to be one close by somewhere. I could almost picture it. And suddenly there it was. A wide split in the roof, just a little bigger than my fist. I reached my hand in, gripped the jagged edge, and pushed with every ounce of energy I had left. At first, very little happened, but as I pushed, the timber began to bend in my grip. Almost there. Snap! Even below the water, we heard the wood break. The gap it left in the planks was just big enough for us to squeeze our heads through. We coughed and spluttered in unison as we filled our aching lungs.
I thought it wasn't your fight,
I managed, my whole body shivering uncontrollably with cold.
It's not. But I thought maybe you could use a sidekick.
She tried to smile, but the cold wouldn't let her. Instead, she ducked down, making room for me to move.
Now, get out,
she stammered, just before her head disappeared below the surface. It took several tries before my aching arms managed to drag me out of the water and onto the roof. The plastic bow slipped off my wrist and hit the roof with a faint clatter. Shaking, I rolled over onto my back and watched the rain falling down on me. I was no longer able to feel it, my body already being soaked from head to toe. With a splash, Amina's head popped back up from under the water. I rolled onto my side and reached a hand out to pull her up onto the roof. She battered it away playfully.
Ugh, come on! Just because it took you forever doesn't mean I can't do it first time. Watch.
She bobbed down low, then leapt up, her hands pressed flat on the roof slates on either side, tendons standing clear of her forearms as she tried to pull herself up Her upper body was almost clear of the water when she suddenly slipped back down.
Ha! I mocked. First time, eh?
She looked up at me, her brow furrowing into a confused frown.
No, I didn't slip, it's...
The water burbled briefly as she was pulled down mid-sentence. In the blink of an eye, she was gone. I clambered onto my knees and shouted her name. The wind quickly whipped my words away and carried them off into the storm.
Amina!
5 seconds I stood there. No movement. I slipped the sodden school bag down off my shoulders. 7 seconds. I had to go back in. 10 seconds. I sucked in air and swung my legs down into the hole as I prepared to slip back into the water. Amina howled like a banshee as she pushed up, sending me tumbling backwards onto the tiles. Throwing an arm out, I caught hold of hers. The water was pulling her down, making her heavy. A desperate roar of effort burst from my lips as I dragged her out onto the roof. A second later, Mr. Mumble's face appeared at the hole. I slammed my foot down into it with as much force as I could muster and enjoyed the crunch his hooked nose made beneath my shoe. As quickly as he'd appeared, my imaginary friend sunk back down into the darkness. I knelt on the slates next to Amina. She lay on her back, gulping and wheezing the life back into her body. She was trembling uncontrollably. We both were. If we didn't get dry soon, we'd freeze to death. Drained, I collapsed onto the roof next to her. We'd go in a second. Just a little time to get our breath back. Just a few seconds.
He didn't save me there, by the way. In case you thought you did.
I could only look quizzically at her, unable to make my mouth form words.
You still owe me big time on the life-saving front,
she explained. Somehow, despite the pain and the cold, she managed a wide, toothy grin. I smiled back at her.
What else are sidekicks for?
Fat droplets of rain tumbled from the heavens onto my face. I closed my eyes and let them wash over me, cleansing away the pool's filth. Maybe I'd have just a few seconds of sleep to recharge. Just a short nap to let my muscles rest. A warning light marked bad idea began to flash inside my head. I coughed and tried to sit up. It wasn't easy. My body was shutting down with the cold. Hypothermia was setting in. I had to get dry and warm. I forced my eyes open and rolled up onto my knees. Amina, I slurred, giving her a shake. She barely flinched, and I noticed her eyes were also closed. I shook her again, more roughly this time.
Amina!
I shouted.
We need to move!
They swam wildly for a few seconds before finally fixing on me. In an instant, she was sitting bolt upright, scanning her surroundings, a puzzled look on her face. It took her a few more seconds to remember where she was. We have to get inside, I told her. We used each other for support as we climbed shakily to our feet. If we don't get dry, we'll die.
Okay.
She nodded, no longer able to keep up the jokes. We joined hands and took a step towards the edge, leaning forwards into the wind in order to stay upright. The moment we took that first step, a heavy thud shook the roof below us. We wobbled, caught off guard by the sudden shaking. A second thud sent a slate sliding off over the edge. It shattered on the moss-covered patio below.
Oh, come on! Give us a break!
The tiles behind us leapt into the air at another thud. Faster and faster the bumping came, until with one final creaking and splitting of wood, a tightly bunched fist emerged up into the storm. Amina and I staggered and slid away until we were right at the edge of the roof. I risked a glance down at the ground below. It seemed a very long way away. My leg was still hurt from being twisted half out of its socket back at the house. There was no way I could make the jump. but Amina could. Go, I told her. The sudden authority in my voice took me by surprise. Mr. Mumbles was dragging himself through the hole he had made. His back was to us, but he'd be up and out in moments. He'd find us soon enough. Get down from here. Get away.
What? What about you?
I can't make the jump. My leg won't take it.
I'm not leaving you alone with him.
I'll be fine. I've got a plan.
What are you going to do?
My eyes fell on the bag I had abandoned over by the hole. I'm going to believe. I turned to face her. But I need a few seconds to get set up.
So you could do with a distraction?
There was a sparkle behind her eyes. Somewhere between excitement and hysteria.
Why didn't you say? Distractions are my specialty.
As Mr. Mumbles hauled himself up through the roof, Amina sprung forwards into a charge. Ducking low, she slammed her shoulder into the brute's back before he even had a chance to turn round. I watched Mr. Mumbles twist and screech, trying to get a grip on the slippery slates of the roof. Amina roared as she forced him onwards, closer and closer towards the roof's edge. By the time they were nearing the drop, they were moving too fast to stop. Mr. Mumbles plunged over first, with Amina still gripping him tightly. I almost cheered. She wasn't just buying me time, she was using him to break her own fall. I rushed to the edge and peered over. The rain battered my face, forcing me to narrow my eyes. It took me a few seconds to find the figures in the darkness, and when I finally spotted them, my blood ran cold as ice. No. Oh no! Amina was face down on the ground, slowly dragging herself through the grass, trying to get away from the hulking shape of Mr. Mumbles. He stood over her, watching her feeble attempts to escape. From the way she was moving, it was obvious she was hurt, and hurt bad. Mr. Mumbles, on the other hand, didn't seem to have been slowed in the slightest. Hey, Baldy! I shouted, as loudly as I could manage. How's that broken nose doing? He craned his neck and glared up at me. Even from this distance, I could see the hatred burning in those dead eyes. You want me? Then come and get me! Amina now forgotten, Mr. Mumbles turned back to the pool building. A rusted drain pipe ran all the way up to the roof. He took hold of it with both hands, his eyes still fixed on mine. Without a sound, he kicked his feet against the wall and began to climb. He was fast for his size. Too fast. I had to move or he'd be on me before I was ready. I hurried over to the bag, ripped it open and thrust my hand inside. When I pulled it back out, I was clutching a handful of the plastic arrows. There were five of them in total. I hoped it would be enough. No, I had to know they would be enough. I couldn't let doubt creep in. I had to believe the arrows would stop him. Otherwise they, and I, didn't stand a chance. My fingers shook as I pocketed four of the arrows and slid the notch of the fifth onto the bright yellow string of the toy bow. The whole thing felt frail and fragile between my fingers, like it would snap with the first pull. I prayed that it didn't as I took up my position at the very edge of the roof. The wind buffeted me from side to side, but I stood my ground. I was sick of running, sick of hiding, sick of being afraid. This was the last stand, and if I was going to go out, I'd go out fighting. Mr. Mumbles was halfway up the side of the building now. He'd reached the roof in no time. Unless I stopped him. I gritted my teeth, pulled back on the bow, and fired. Twang! The arrow slipped from the string and was instantly carried off by the wind. Cursing myself, I reached into my pocket and pulled out the remaining four. Clutching three of them between my teeth, I notched another and took aim. Twang! The arrow shot from the bow and curved off at almost 90 degrees, missing its target by several meters. I heard Mr. Mumbles laugh as he pulled himself upwards. Twang! Another arrow whizzed away, closer this time, but still not close enough. I wasn't compensating properly for the wind. I slipped another notch against the string and aimed far off to the right of my target. I concentrated. There was only one arrow left after this. I had to make them count. Twang! A direct hit. The rubber suction cup bounced harmlessly off Mr. Mumble's head, then floated off into the night. I lowered the bow. Why wasn't it working? I was using the arrows just like I had in the drawing. So why weren't they hurting him? What was different? I took the last arrow in my hand and placed it in position. Mr. Mumbles was almost on me now. One short burst of speed and he'd be here. My mind raced back to that drawing. I closed my eyes and saw it clearly. Every crayon mark, every detail. I could see the arrow embedded into Mr. Mumble's flesh. I could see the spray of crimson from his chest. "Sorry, old friend," I whispered, "but this is really going to hurt." A familiar tingle crawled across my head and through my brain. I pulled back the string, opened my eyes, and let fly. Whip! The arrow cut through the air in the blink of an eye. For a fraction of a second, I thought I saw metal glinting at the far end before it disappeared deep into Mr. Mumble's shoulder. His wail of agony split the night. The wounded arm lost its grip on the drainpipe and he swung out from the wall. For a moment, I was sure he was going to fall off, but no such luck. He wasn't finished yet. Using just his feet and one hand, and with his face twisting in agony, Mr. Mumbles continued his climb up to the roof, and I was all out of arrows. My hand went into the bag again and brought out the toy sword. It was light and flimsy, but then so had the arrows been. To begin with, at least. Giving the sword a couple of experimental swishes, I stepped back from the roof. Yet again, the storm battered me as if the weather itself was my enemy. If only the wind would drop, even for just a minute or so. Just a few seconds later, the wind did exactly that. Lucky. Lucky timing. Aside from the rattling of rain, the world was suddenly all but silent. It would make things easier. Not easy, but easier. With a final growl, Mr. Mumbles dragged himself up onto the roof and faced me. The arrow was still stuck in his shoulder, and as he got up, I could see the rubber suction cup had somehow passed right through. It jutted out on the other side, thick with his oily blood. We stood there, watching each other for what felt like forever. Neither one in a hurry to make the first move. My fingers gripped the sword handle tightly. The plastic buckled in my hand and I felt all confidence drain away. I was facing a monster, and I was armed with a child's toy. I had just begun to wonder what it would be like to die, when Mr. Mumbles did something unexpected. He spoke.
"Congratulations,"
he said. His voice was a low hiss, unsteady, like he was testing it out for the first time.
"No one believed you'd last this long. You've surprised us all."
"Who?" I asked, more than happy to stall for time at this point. "Who have I surprised?" A low, sickening cackle escaped his blood-crusted lips.
"You didn't think I was the only one, did you? I am just the first,"
he sneered.
"There are thousands of us hidden down there in the darkest corners. Millions. And we're coming back."
His eyes lit up with crazed delight.
"You thought you just forget about me. But I'm coming back. We're all coming back.
He gestured around with his good arm, not once shifting his gaze from me.
And then all this entire worthless world will burn. We'll destroy it all.
The darkest corners. Those three words almost sent me staggering backwards off the roof. But that had all been a dream, hadn't it? It didn't matter now. If I lived through this, then I could worry about the darkest corners. Right now, nothing mattered but stopping the monstrosity standing before me. No, you won't. My voice was calm and steady, the exact opposite of how I felt inside. I couldn't let him see my fear. I had to keep bluffing. That's not going to happen.
Oh, really? And who's going to stop us?
That cackle again, like a hyena's death rattle. With a flick of my wrist, I held the sword out, the blunted point aimed right between his dead man's eyes. Me. Just me. And with that, I lunged. I'd never fenced before, so there was no skill in any of my movements. Even if the blade had been razor-sharp metal, Mr. Mumbles would still have managed to deflect it away just as easily as he did. On my second or third swing with the sword, he dodged to the side, sending me off balance. I stumbled and almost slipped on the sodden grey slate of the roof. It took just a moment for me to find my centre of gravity again, but he was behind me now, laughing, always laughing. I swung the sword round in a sweeping arc and spun on my heels. Mr. Mumbles leaned backwards and easily avoided the blow. Once again, I overstretched and teetered forwards, my balance lost. My hand steadied me against the slates, and I was up again. Every move I made, he was ready for. He dodged and weaved, effortlessly avoiding my every blow. The wind was beginning to pick up again, and even though the sword weighed next to nothing, I could feel my arm growing heavy.
You will never beat me,
he sneered, ducking to avoid another flailing swing.
You think you can hurt me, but really, you have no idea.
That arrow seemed to do the trick, I reminded him. To hammer the point home, I leapt forward and managed to whack the exposed end of the arrow with the tip of the sword. He roared in pain and retreated back two or three paces.
A lucky shot,
he growled. We began circling each other, only the flimsy plastic blade of my weapon between us. I beat you once before.
And yet here I am.
Not for long! With a roar, I leapt at him, sword raised above my head. It whistled through the air as I swung it down at him. A second before it connected, his fingers wrapped around my wrist.
You don't get it, do you?
He cackled. A blurred shape hit me in the face like a freight train and the world turned shades of grey. The fist came up again. I didn't see it move, didn't feel the sword slip from my fingers, didn't notice the blood on my chin. Mr. Mumble's bloated lips were moving, but I could hear nothing over the sound of crashing water. It filled my head and the world around me, drowning out all other noise, except that laugh. Throughout it all, I could still hear that laugh. The third punch caught me on the side of the head. I was flat on the roof before I felt it. The world flickered. Then the pain in my jaw dragged me back from the brink of unconsciousness.
How do you think I came to exist in the first place?
Mr. Mumbles demanded, He was bending down, his face close to mine. Despite the torrent in my ears, it was impossible not to hear him from such a short distance.
You brought me into the world. You and your slurred speech and your crying and your need for a friend. Any friend. You made me.
My chin touched against my chest as he hauled my head up. Crack! He slammed it back down onto the slate, and I felt my whole skull vibrate.
You made me. And then, when you didn't need me, you cast me out. You sent me away, and then you forgot me. Did you really think I was going to let you do that?
My lips moved of their own accord, but no sound emerged.
We were supposed to be friends, and you send me away. You send me to that place. Have you any idea what I've been through? The things they did to me. Look at me. Look what they did.
I didn't respond. Nothing I could say could stop him doing whatever he was about to do. He was a madman, beyond reason. I felt a sudden weight on my chest as he pressed a knee against it.
Beg me. Beg me for your life. And I might keep you alive as my slave.
His grotesque mouth stretched into an unpleasant grin.
For old time's sake.
Please, I managed. The movement made something in my jaw grind painfully together.
I have a breath mint.
His face fell before I'd even finished the sentence. Shrieking like a demon, he hit me again. Bang! An ear exploded in pain. I stretched my arms out and flailed them around me, searching for the sword. Nowhere to be found. Bang! Another blow, across my cheek this time. Nan's words suddenly swam before my eyes. They burned, bold and bright, lighting up the night. My imagination was strong enough to create Mr. Mumbles, so my imagination was strong enough to send him away. The arrow had worked because I'd believed it would work. No, not believed, because I had known, without even the faintest shadow of doubt, that it would work. The light bulb, the axe, the shield, even the exploding donkey. It really was me. All of it. It had all happened because I'd wanted it enough. No, not wanted it. Because I'd imagined it. Mr. Mumbles was on me now, the weight of his body pinning me down. His fingers crawled through my hair and I yelped as he took hold. Grinning in triumph, he lifted my head and slammed it hard against the slates once again. Something at the base of my skull felt as if it were about to shatter. If only I could reach the sword. If only I could find a weapon. Suddenly, I remembered something I'd slipped into my pocket at the police station. I wrenched my wrist around and fumbled for it, struggling against the weight of my imagined attacker. As he hit me again, I found what I was looking for and yanked it from my pocket, already feeling the electrical tingle across my scalp. This had to work. It was going to work. I knew it. I knew it without the faintest shadow of a doubt. I pressed the water pistol against Mr. Mumble's stomach. He looked down at it, then back up at me. His laughter rang even louder in my ears. He was speaking to me, shouting something. I couldn't hear him. I didn't care. My finger squeezed on the trigger. With a deafening roar, the water pistol spat flaming hot lead into Mr. Mumble's belly. The impact of the bullet lifted him off me. He flailed backwards, then hit the slates with a wet thud. traces of smoke curled up from the water pistol as I watched him convulsing, his hands clutching at the wound in his gut. One thing was for sure, he wasn't laughing anymore. Despite the hole in his stomach, it didn't take him long to recover. He was back on his feet before I reached mine. But he was more cautious this time, and didn't dive straight for me. The water pistol was useless now. It was tiny, and even my imagination couldn't picture it holding any more than one bullet. It dropped at my feet with a metallic clatter.
"Impressive,"
Mr. Mumbles conceded. He threw out his arms and hurled himself at me.
"But not impressive enough."
I rolled across the roof and caught the blade of the toy sword between two fingers. Still plastic. Good. I needed it light. With a final effort, I turned and hurled the sword. The effort sent me tumbling backwards to the tiles, but my aim was good. End over end, the sword went, and as it spun, it began to change. The dull grey plastic took on the shiny sheen of steel. The safe, rounded point became sharp and deadly. In less than 2 seconds, it had changed from a plaything to a lethal weapon, hurtling directly towards Mr. Mumble's head. He easily snatched the sword from the sky, somehow managing to catch it by the handle before the final spin could cut his head in half.
"Stupid boy,"
he growled. He took a step towards me and raised the blade above his head.
"You missed me."
"Maybe," I shrugged. I felt an electric tingle creep across my entire body this time. The hairs on my arms stood up straight as I imagined the most destructive weapon I possibly could. But maybe not. I looked up. The storm was moving away from the village now, but I could see lightning sparkling from the clouds on the horizon. Could I do it? Was it even possible? That doubt again. I pushed it away. I would make it possible. With a fluorescent crack, a bolt of lightning stabbed down from the sky. The jagged streak of blue struck the tip of the sword, and for a moment, the world went a blinding white. I threw up my arms, shielding my eyes from the brilliant explosion of light. When the flash had faded, I looked across to where Mr. Mumbles had been. Now there was nothing, save for a small pile of ash and a plastic sword, warped and melted and black. As I watched, the wind swept up the dust and carried it off to be swallowed by the swirling night. He was gone. I'd done it. The nightmare was over. I couldn't get his words out of my head, though. He said there'd be more of them. Thousands of them. Maybe millions. I shuddered at the thought. If the Darkest Corners was real, then those things I'd seen in it had to be real too. And if they somehow made it through... But no, the Darkest Corners had been a dream. The most vivid, detailed dream I'd ever had, yes. But a dream all the same. It was done. Finished. Mr. Mumbles was gone. Finally.
Did I miss the excitement?
I turned in time to see Amina pulling herself up onto the roof. It was a struggle for her, but she made it. Yeah. Pain pulsed through my head, down my spine, and onto any other part of my body it could find.
Some sidekick you turned out to be.
Her face went pale as she saw the blood and bruising on mine.
Good grief.
She gasped.
What did he do to you?
It looks worse than it feels.
No, wait. I got that the wrong way round. She gave me that Cheshire Cat grin and half-guided, half-dragged me back into a standing position.
What about you?
I'll live. It only hurts when I'm conscious.
I decided there and then that it was time for the truth. We'd been through too much tonight to play games any longer.
Your family didn't really buy the Keller House, did they?
She opened her mouth to argue, then decided against it.
Don't have much in the way of a family,
she told me with a shrug.
Just me. Still, thought I might crash here, though. For a while, at least.
I nodded, unsure what I should say. In the end, I decided on... the pool could do with a clean.
Thanks. I'll bear that in mind. Now, come on, let's get you down.
Mum was awake and lying on the couch when Amina and I stumbled into the living room, each holding the other up. The side of Mum's face was a dark purple. It bulged weirdly in places it shouldn't be bulging at all. But she was alive, and that was all that mattered.
Kyle!
Nan yelped, her frail hands flying to her mouth at the very sight of me.
It's okay, Nan. I'm okay. It's over.
Did you... Is he gone?
He's gone, I nodded. He's gone. Mum tried to sit up, but the movement must have hurt and she slipped back down again almost at once.
Mum!
The relief obvious in my voice.
You're okay!
Fine.
She nodded, attempting a smile.
But you... Look at you. Was he... I mean, did he...
A new head might be nice, but other than that, I'm perfect. She smiled again, for real this time, then closed her eyes. How is she? Really?
She's fine,
promised Nan, who was holding up surprisingly well, all things considered.
She just needs some rest, is all.
I sagged down into an armchair and let my head roll backwards. I know the feeling. Nan shuffled up behind the chair and loomed over me. From this position, she looked like she was upside down. Upside down and worried.
Kyle, we didn't know. How could we know? We thought... We didn't.
It's okay, Nan. I'd started to doubt it all myself, and I'd been the one it was happening to. You couldn't know. She nodded briefly and glanced away. When she looked back, her eyes were wet with tears.
I'm just glad you're all right.
I felt her arms slip onto my shoulder. I took it in mine and gave it a squeeze. You too. Oh, and by the way, nice work with the vase. We laughed at that, and she gave my hair a playful ruffle. I didn't have the heart to tell her it was agonisingly painful.
Oh, I found this pinned to the door.
She held out a large white envelope, which I slowly took from her. The contents were rigid. A card. I looked at the writing on the front. My name, but the handwriting was unfamiliar. I glanced across at Amina, who had taken a seat on one of the dining chairs. She gave a shrug.
I don't know. Open it.
I wasn't sure why, but my hand shook as I tore along the top of the envelope. Maybe I expected a trick of some kind, some fatal final farewell from Mr. Mumbles. All I found was a Christmas card. It was silver and red and covered with glitter, all the colours of the rainbow. In bright, bold letters on the front were the words, "Season's greetings." Still half expecting danger, I carefully eased the card open. Shiny paper slipped out onto my lap. I picked it up. The temperature in the room seemed to drop as I examined the photograph in my hand. Is this some kind of joke? The question was addressed to no one in particular.
What is it?
Asked Mum, opening her eyes.
It just appeared on the door. I don't know, someone must have come in and left it there when I wasn't looking.
My heart thudded all the way up into my throat. The picture showed me in my bedroom, or an impression of it, at least. But half the room wasn't my bedroom at all. A line cut the picture in half from top to bottom. On the right side was my room, with me standing in it. The left-hand side was completely different. The peeling wallpaper was grey and shabby, the carpet threadbare and worn. It looked exactly like the corridor the man in the darkest corners had led me down. So that place was real. I'd been there. This proved it. I frowned, looking down at the photograph. When was it taken? Why was the image split in two? It was almost as if... Mum managed to stand up. She shuffled over to me and took the picture from my trembling hands. I heard her gasp before she staggered and fell back onto the couch. Her eyes were wide, staring and fixed on the picture.
Mum? This is your room, Kyle.
She sobbed.
What? When was he here? When was he in your room?
Who? I asked. But I knew. I already knew.
Him!
She wailed, holding the photo up for me to see. She pointed at the empty space next to me.
Your father! When did you meet your father?
I'd known the words were coming, but they still somehow came as a shock. My eyes flicked down to the Christmas card I held in my hands. There inside, scrawled in handwriting even more untidy than mine, were four short words. I breathed deeply as I read them over and over again. It begins, they said. Love, Dad. I folded the card closed and crossed to the door. Mum was still talking, but I could no longer hear her. The storm whistled and whispered at me as I peered into its heart. There was no one in sight. Whoever had left the card was long gone. It begins. What did it mean? I had no idea, but as I turned and pushed close the door behind me, I had a horrible sinking feeling I would find out soon. I just didn't realize how soon.
You've been listening to Mr. Mumbles, Book 1 in the Invisible Fiends series, written by Barry Hutcherson and produced by Be Here.